This is your KBNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, February 3rd. I'm Lisa Young. In local news, Paonia K-8 students are beginning 2026 with significant academic achievements, earning statewide and national recognition in vocabulary competition, while also being honored for outstanding classroom performance and character. This fall, Paonia K-8 7th and 8th grade students competed in the National Vocabulary Bowl, where students won the Colorado State Championship in the Middle Elementary Division III category, which includes schools with fewer than 500 students. Paonia K-8 also placed 4th nationally in its division. The Ouray Community Forest Reliance Project, which aims to scour dead and dying trees and underbrush around the city of Ouray to reduce wildfire risk in the area, was recently awarded $500,000 in federal funding. According to reporting in the Ouray County Plain Dealer, the 93-acre wildfire mitigation project, costing roughly $1.3 million, was being held up until the federal funding was released. The project is a collaborative effort with the West Region Wildfire Council, the City of Ouray, Ouray County, the U.S. Forest Service, and the Colorado State Forest Service. Ouray County expects to receive the formal funding award in March, with the project funds following in the summer. The Sundance Film Festival is preparing to leave Park City, Utah, and to move to a new home in Boulder, Colorado. The Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports from Sundance, where attendees are saying goodbye.
It's a dark and cold night. Young fans are pressed up against a metal barricade outside of a high school. Joey Pearson and friends are huddled together waiting for pop star Charlie XCX.
She has a cult following, and that's us.
That's true.
The star has a new film premiering here tonight, but most of these fans don't have tickets. They're just hoping to see Charlie walk by. Valentina Rodriguez lives close. This is her first Sundance.
We just never thought to go, but this is the last year, so we thought last hurrah.
2 years ago, festival organizers announced they were looking for a new location. Boulder ultimately won the bid, offering a walkable downtown, flat iron views, and more than $30 million in tax incentives. As the festival closes this chapter, many here are looking back.
It really stinks, and I don't want it to leave.
Clayton Scrivener is Park City's communications manager. In 1981, actor Robert Redford started the Sundance Institute, a space in the mountains far from Hollywood for new artists to find their voices. It's grown into the top festival for independent film. For Scrivener, as a young person, it was a cultural lifeline.
It was where I saw the coolest bands, like that came that would not have come and performed in a small club in Utah ever.
In the 90s and early 2000s, Snoop Dogg and Kid Rock put on surprise performances. Women in fur coats and heels rushed past ski bums on Main Street. Scrivener thinks moving to Boulder, 10 times the size of Park City, will inevitably change the vibe. But the festival has already changed. Erin Evans has worked in this Main Street art gallery for almost 2 decades. She used to host a local TV program called Festival After Dark. Events have become more exclusive.
Now, to get into parties, you have to pay for them. It's a super tight invite list, and if you're not on that, and if you don't want to spend $500 for a ticket to go see Diplo, you're out of luck.
Evan says she probably won't follow Sundance to Boulder. Christine Vachon understands that feeling.
For a lot of people, Park City and Sundance are synonymous, but that's exactly the kind of thing you want to disrupt.
Vachon is a leading independent film producer whose career grew alongside Sundance. Her first feature film won a grand prize here in 1991, and now she's the executive producer on a film premiering tonight. Years ago, filmmakers came to the festival simply to find community and watch movies.
We just kind of went from theater to theater to theater and sat on the floor if we had to and just, you know, sometimes saw 4 or 5 movies a day.
But now tickets, travel, and lodging are expensive. Vachon hopes a new location might help younger filmmakers reclaim the festival. What matters most to her is that Sundance stays relevant.
What I've always loved about the festival is it's really kind of stuck to its guns. It has a penchant for showing, you know, movies that people can't always agree on, that aren't always crowd pleasers.
There are certainly crowd pleasers too. Back at the high school, it's gotten later and darker and even started to snow. As Jada Green and Gabrielle Held wait for Charlie XCX. Finally, she appears.
It was very quick.
It was very quick.
She didn't sign a single thing. Nope. She was on a mission.
She waved.
She served.
She served.
For one last year in Park City, the spectacle and spirit of Sundance carries on. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
Indigenous communities are grappling with the latest ICE crackdowns and what that could mean for their citizens and tribal sovereignty. Indian Country Today's Stuart Huntington recently returned from a week-long trip to Minneapolis where he spoke with Native leaders, and he brings us this report.
I spent a week in my old hometown of Minneapolis covering the response to the federal immigration crackdown known as Operation Metro Surge. I got tear gassed an hour and a half after and just a block from where Alex Jeffrey Preddy was killed by federal officers.
Very difficult situation to watch. I was hit by a projectile.
Fired by the officers. I found the city strongly united against what Minnesota elected officials, including Governor Tim Walz, are calling federal overreach.
What do we need to do to get these federal agents out of our state?
And I found strong leadership in the Native community that has been standing up against federal headwinds for centuries. Here's Rachel Dion Thunder, a Big Stone Cree Nation descendant and vice president of Minneapolis's Indigenous Protector Movement.
What we're really seeing is a continuation of tactics that us as Native people are very accustomed to. But what is happening now that is different is more American citizens are waking up to the reality of what it means to be existing under an authoritarian regime that us as Native people already know and understand and have been fighting against for generations.
And Minnesotans seem to be paying attention. An enormous rally through the streets of the city ended with speeches at the Target Center Arena led by Native voices, but not before the singing of the American Indian Movement anthem. AIM was founded in Minneapolis in 1968. Nick Estes, a Lower Brule Sioux Tribe citizen and associate professor of American Indian Studies at the University of Minnesota, addressed the 10,000 people in the arena.
Because all of you today are now feeling what we have been feeling for centuries. This did not begin in December with Operation Metro Surge. This began centuries ago.
Other Native leaders, like Navajo Nation Council Delegate Eugenia Charles Newton, agreed.
It's a repeat of history, and it's very unfortunate we're in 2026 and we're seeing this happening again today to our Native people.
But maybe things can be different today in Minnesota. That's what Mike Forsha thinks. He's the president of the American Indian Movement's Twin City chapter.
Minneapolis isn't like the rest of the world. We take this stuff seriously, and we're not going to put up with it.
Again, Associate Professor Estes.
What a lot of Americans are really shocked by, and a lot of the world is really shocked by, is how the United States is treating its own citizens, you know, to say nothing of how it treats people it sees as different, such as immigrant people, or people such as ourselves who they've cast out of, you know, belonging to this nation from the very beginning and tried to actually erase us from this land.
It's unclear today what President Donald Trump plans to do with his immigration enforcement plans.
Well, I'm looking at that whole situation.
But Native leaders say they will continue to stand up. Navajo Nation Vice President Richelle Montoya was philosophical.
It reminds me of what our ancestors taught us, not just as Navajo ancestors, but Indian country ancestors. We all are supposed to be here for one another. And that's one of the things that I continuously say to everybody and anybody that will listen to me. If Indian country unites, we are strong. And that is what the United States government fears.
On unceded Dakota land in what is now Minnesota, I'm Stuart Huntington for ICT.
That's your KBNF regional newscast. I'm Lisa Young.